Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning, March 19th, 2016. Beautiful, sunny morning. Hope you're doing well and having a good weekend so far. And so delighted to be with you where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us from anywhere on PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. And as you know, the pledge drive continues here, and so we do hope you support Long Island's only NPR station. And please call with any type of donation here at 1-800-620-8830. And the one and only Bonnie Grice is actually here in the studio to answer your call. So give us a call, 1-800-620-8830. Well, March is Head Injury Month. And Liz Giordano, the CEO of the Head Injury Association based right here in Long Island, she is in the studio to talk about this very important issue and to preview what should be a most fascinating forum that will take place on Wednesday, March 30th, the Head Injury Awareness Celebrity Sports Forum, protecting school-aged athletes from concussions. And this forum will feature the one and only Dr. Bennett Omalu, the Nigerian-born doctor, now a U.S. citizen, who actually discovered CTE, affecting many athletes who suffered repeated severe blows to the head. And if you saw the movie Concussion, starring Will Smith, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a story about Dr. Omalu and his discovery and the many years that the NFL denied and rebuffed his discovery. And if you have not seen the film, I urge you to go and see it. It is beautifully done on so many levels. It's very educational and it's quite uplifting. And you'll learn how Dr. Omalu overcame so many obstacles and challenges, yet he stood firm with his research and his beliefs. And he stood up against one of the most powerful organizations in the world, the National Football League. Well, several months ago, I had the opportunity to interview the author of the book, Concussion, which actually inspired the film, and the author, Jean Marie Laskis. She's a fascinating interview as well, and the book went into a lot of this detail and actually started out with more detail about Dr. Omalu's life in Nigeria. And I also recommend that you read the book as well as see the movie because, it's just fascinating and very uplifting. And we'll learn more about Dr. Omalu's background and his discovery in a moment. But first, the big news this week pertaining to this issue is that after years and years of the NFL denying that there is any link between football and brain injuries, earlier this week, the NFL admitted that there is a link between playing football and CTE. And it all took place at a hearing this week in Washington. A congresswoman actually asked the question of Jeff Miller, who's the NFL's senior VP for health and public safety. And she asked if there was a connection between football and CTE. And Jeff Miller said, in quotes, "The answer to that is certainly yes." Well, this is the first time ever that anyone on record from the NFL admitted this link, after years and years and years of denying Dr. Omalu's research and discovery and being accused of hiding the dangers of head injuries for decades. So it was quite the about-face from the NFL. And so this morning, we are going to discuss all of this with Liz Giordano, the CEO of the Head Injury Association, and we'll talk more about Dr. Omalu's fascinating story, his discovery, what we can expect to learn at the upcoming forum on March 30th. He's actually going to be the keynote speaker. I can't wait to meet this incredible guy in person. And a lot of celebrity guests will be there, including John Nitti, who will join us later this hour. John Nitti, former Jets and Giants running back and Yale running back. John is always insightful on this issue, and so he'll join us in the show as well. And so you're not going to want to miss this. We'll be back with Liz Giordano at of the Head Injury Association and continue pledging your drive. We're here all morning, and the number again is 800-620-8830. Support Long Island's only NPR station. Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you in part by Tourism Ireland. Go where Ireland takes you. DiscoverIreland.com.
This is Wally Smith, General Manager of WPPB. Every spring, WPPB brings you the entire season of the Metropolitan Opera broadcast on Saturdays from 1 to 5 p.m. Our station is proud to make opera more widely accessible through our broadcast. Whether you are an opera aficionado or just a casual listener to opera, we're the place to listen each Saturday afternoon in the spring. This is just one of the many important reasons to support WPPB during this spring pledge drive. Go to 883-WPPB.org and donate now.
Well, the sun is out, bright and beautiful on this Saturday morning. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. So glad to be with you. I am every Saturday from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, and you can hear us from anywhere on the planet at PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. All shows are archived at AnnLiguori.com. And the pledge number to call is 1-800-620-8830. Please support Long Island's only NPR station. Kyle Lynch is here with his gorgeous little puppy, Cooper. What a cute dog. Great blue eyes. Bonnie Grice is in the studio to hopefully answer your phone call, so please call us. And Liz Giordano, the CEO of the Head Injury Association, joins me live in the studio. Liz, always a pleasure to visit with you and to talk about this important issue. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann. It's delightful to be here this morning.
It's so much fun to work with you and to shed light on this issue. And we've been doing this for forever, it seems. How many years? Maybe 10 at least?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the history within the Head Injury Association. Yeah. We were one of the first agencies on Long Island to bring this to the attention of the public, and that was in 2006. Wow. So you're right on target when you say 10 years. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to testify at the congressional hearing in Manhattan with the NFL. I also had the opportunity to speak with several congressional members advocating for more research and more public awareness on this issue. And I think the crucial point for us at the Head Injury Association is that it's tragic what's happening in the NFL. But the interesting factor, which makes it even worse, that as the NFL goes, so do children in sports go. The NFL players are heroes to our youngsters on Long Island. They follow them, they idolize it, and it's wonderful. They're wonderful role models. However, when you talk about a youngster with a brain that has not been fully developed playing football without precautions, then it becomes tragedies waiting to happen at an older age. So this is particularly important, protecting school-age athletes from concussions, because we now know what happens.
That's right. That's right. There's been so many studies since we've been doing this show and since the Head Injury Association has been around since 2006. And every year you organize this forum, the Head Injury Awareness Celebrity Sports Forum, protecting school-aged athletes from concussions is the theme this year. And talk about it, Liz, because I know it's sold out already. Dr. Bennett O'Malley, you actually found this doctor.
I found him, yeah.
And he is actually coming all the way from California to be the keynote speaker.
Yes, it's amazing. We are just so, so lucky to have been able to bring him in to talk to our audience. I want to say a little bit about the audience. It's the trainers, the phys ed teachers. It's the nurses in our middle schools and high schools in both Nassau and Suffolk County that are going to constitute the audience. We have almost 350 people coming, who have signed up for this event. So we're just delighted that the audience are people who control what happens to our children in sports. We at the Head Injury Association were involved in signing a very early piece of legislation that mandated youth organizations have concussion policies, that these policies are taken home to parents. Parents have to sign off on it. And our mantra has become, when in doubt, sit it out. We don't want kids with possible concussions on the field.
That's right. So more education's been out for a number of years now to educate, you know, the football coaches, the athletic directors, you know, the PE teachers, what to do in case one of the students or athletes, you know, has a concussion. So do you feel like we're in a different place now? There's more education out there and it's perhaps being treated differently than it has been in the past?
Well, there has certainly been progress and we're very pleased about that. Is it enough? No. I could tell you firsthand from my experiences that high schools now have a baseline for the football team before the season begins. And that's great news because with that baseline established, they're able to diagnose a concussion right on the field. And it's all about short-term memory is what's being measured. There are machines and science technology that has created apparatus that can be on the field where a player can blow into it and determine the amount of oxygen that goes to the brain, which is also another symptom, lack of oxygen to the brain, of a brain injury. So there are things that have been done to protect our young people. But I think you hit the nail on the head this morning when you said this week the NFL, in the person of Jeff Miller, the senior vice president of health and safety, came out recognizing Dr. Amalu's accomplishments in medical science. But it's interesting. Dr. Amalu did the Mike Webster autopsy in 2002. So it took them 14 years to say Dr. Amalu was spot on, and they still haven't said it fully. We're waiting to hear from Commissioner Goodell. He has always said that he is going to let the research and the medical science drive the NFL's position and policy. So we're anxious to see now with that admission, although 14 years later, what he has to tell us.
You mentioned Mike Webster, and for those who aren't familiar with the story, and this is all beautifully, laid out in the film Concussion, and it's, you know, startling, really. And Mike Webster was a center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was only in his 50s, and he just kind of lost his mind. Basically, he was homeless. He, you know, ended up living in his car. He would take his teeth out and glue them back on. He was just doing so many weird things, and he knew he was going crazy, but he was trying to, you know, communicate with the team doctor, and they were trying to diagnose what was going on with him, but nothing showed up from a neurological standpoint with Mike Webster while he was alive that showed that there was anything wrong, so they weren't sure how to treat him.
And that's the problem with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, is that it presents like mental illness. So does traumatic brain injury. Many of our people that we care for at the Head Injury Association's day programs, people would question, you know, those little behaviors within our population. You're a little bit too close to somebody. You're in their life space. You don't quite get the joke. Your cognitive skills are lacking. You suffer from depression and you have dementia type symptoms. And it's not. It's truly brain injury. With CTE, there was no way of diagnosing it unless it was postmortem. And that's what made it even more difficult. So when you look at a Mike Webster, he looked like he was going crazy. And in fact, the pain that these individuals go through is so unbearable that you wind up, you just want to pull your teeth out of your mind, out of your mouth, your headaches. You know, you're so...
His voice is going on in his head. He was dizzy. He was acting crazy. And, you know, just imagine, you know, what happens with the family, too. I mean, tears apart the family. The family has no idea. You know, a lot of times some of these athletes get violent, you know, at home. And so they did not know. And as you said, Dr. Amaliu discovered this, actually put a name to it. But you have to basically look at the brain. So you can't do it until, you know,
post-mortem.
And so they say CT now is the degenerative brain disease. And he has found it in the brains of 100 football players. And in the movie, basically said that he's certain that it's in a very high percentage of athletes who are playing. And, you know, football really is almost like has become like the fall sport, right? It's become everybody points to football. But, you know, what about soccer? What about lacrosse? Yes. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and girls lacrosse players don't wear helmets, apparently. I didn't know that. I don't play lacrosse. But, you know, that it's a very physical sport. So there's all these sports where, you know, where there's a lot of physical contact, where there's a lot of concussions going on the field. And so it's not just football. It's you just really have to protect your athletes with the helmet. And not that that's going to completely protect you, because, you know, obviously football players have worn helmets and they're still, you know, suffering from, you know, all these symptoms, post-concussion syndrome and whatnot. But I was going to ask you, going back to our initial discussion about all the education that's been out there in the last, say, 10 years, you know, that for coaches and PE teachers, et cetera, et cetera. What should one do if you're on the sidelines, if you're coaching and one of your athletes has a concussion? What do you do immediately?
You know, immediately you take them out of play. You don't want that young person going back in, because once you have suffered a concussion, you're 4 times more likely to suffer a second and third concussion. And then we're talking about post-concussion syndrome, which is really a form of brain damage and brain injury. So number one, you want to do that. You want to make sure that that youngster gets medical attention right away. No longer is it that myth that if he loses consciousness, then he has a concussion. So therefore, if he doesn't, he's not concussed. That's not true. You know, you don't have to lose consciousness to be concussed. So you want to make sure that the myths are dismissed and that parents are aware. So you educate, I believe, the coaches, the trainers, anybody working with a young person in a contact sport has the obligation to not only protect that child, but to educate that child's parent on what to do. And the only real treatment for concussion is rest. They're now talking about that concussions take an incredibly long time to heal from, and there should be no TV, no computer, no cell phones, no physical activity. You know how difficult that must be for parents to keep kids in that scenario? I had a parent from New Jersey call me. Her daughter played, I believe it was soccer, and suffered a concussion. And mom is desperate, saying, but my daughter's been resting out of school. You know, you can't even provide her with a home tutor because she has to rest and you shouldn't use your eyes and for so long. Is there any place else you think I could take her? And I said, what does your doctor say? He said, it's just a very slow process to recovery. And she's right on. There's no getting back.
And everybody has a different timetable. It's, you know, some people are out for weeks until they start feeling, you know, normal.
Right.
We're talking to Liz Giordano, who is the CEO of the Head Injury Association, and she has organized a forum that's coming up on Wednesday, March 30th, the Head Injury Awareness Celebrity Sports Forum. protecting school-aged athletes from concussions. And Dr. Bennett Omalu, the Nigerian-born doctor who is now a U.S. citizen, who discovered CTE, which affects many athletes who suffer repeated severe blows to the head. And the movie Concussion, starring Will Smith, is a story about Dr. Omalu and his discovery in the many years that the NFL denied and basically rebuffed his story. And what a film, Liz. Really well done. You know, they basically, I guess Dr. Omalu spent a lot of time with Will Smith. Will Smith had his voice. You know, he's from Nigeria, Dr. Omalu. And so Will Smith became just transformed into Dr. Omalu. Don't you think? It was just an incredible performance.
It was an incredible performance. I mean, Will Smith did such a fabulous job that when I saw the film for the first 3 minutes, I didn't recognize Will Smith. So that's how entrenched he was in the character of Dr. Omalu. So it was really a wonderful, well-written, well-acted film, and I recommend it to everybody who loves football.
And talking about the challenges that Dr. Omalu had to overcome, and he was born in war-torn Nigeria, and they had to actually leave their homeland for a while because of the war, and he was able to come back. And at a very early age, I think at either 12 or 13, he was able to go to a private school, though. So his family did have means, which they could send him to a private school. And then at the age of 16, he, you know, decided he was going to study to become a doctor. So his education is incredible, and he has a variety of master's degrees, and I know he got his MBA from the University of Pittsburgh while he was a pathologist at Pittsburgh, and you know, working under noted pathologist Cyril Weck, I guess his name is, at the Allegheny County Coroner's Office. But he has all these degrees, Liz, and just an impressive, impressive person. Never watched TV, just very different. You know, but America was to him the promised land, and to come all this way to overcome, you know, his background and to be able to get to the United States and to earn all these degrees and then to work and become, you know, such a respected pathologist. And then to discover something that nobody's ever discovered, to actually name it, and then for all those years to be not only rejected by the NFL, but, you know, he was harassed.
You know, it's very ironic because all he wanted to do was to be an American. Everything in his life, his goal was, I want to be a true American. And here he is now. You know, sometimes you just go where life takes you. You put one foot in front of the other, and he is up against one of the most powerful American organizations in the world, the NFL. So it's truly ironic where he has found himself. But that's why I'm just so delighted to hear that the NFL may be ready to recognize him, because the medical science and the research has been out there.
And he did say in the movie, his character did say, over 90% of NFL players have some degree of CTE. That basically common sense just tells him that. Of course, we talked about you can't diagnose it until after a person has passed, and the family decides that, yes, you know, we'll donate a brain, and so you can basically, you know, look at it to see if there is any evidence of CTE. But what Omalu had to go through is just incredible. All of football, you know, rebuffed him, and the point was made in the film, if 10% of the mothers out there decide that football is too dangerous for kids, then football is done. So that, you know, they didn't want
to. They have to protect their dynasty.
Absolutely. It's such a huge dynasty.
And I think the challenge now for Dr. Omalu, and I believe he has begun to work on this, is the ability to diagnose CTE while you're alive. Because once he accomplishes that, and I know he has a foundation in Pittsburgh, once they accomplish that, then you could talk about research for treatment, because these people are out there and you want to make sure there's hope. You want to make sure you can diagnose it, you can manage it, and you could treat it. This year particularly, and I attribute it to the keynote speakers present, again, Dr. Bennett Amalu, we got lots of NFL guys who are coming in to be on the panel with him. We have Harry Carson, Hall of Famer. We have Marty Lyons. We have Rich Caster. We have John Nitti, who we're going to talk to in a few minutes. These people now all want to be involved. I have to say, this is a very loyal group of people. They've been on my panel for the last 10 years.
Dr. Max Gomez will be there.
Dr. Max will be emceeing it again. And our dear friend who now lives in Las Vegas, Debbie Gibson, will be performing with the choir as she does every year.
Jerry Cooney.
And Jerry Cooney, we wanted to talk about boxing. We definitely wanted to say, here's a sport where people are being hit in the head. And Jerry is probably, I think he says, he's among the oldest fighters in the United States because their life expectancy isn't as long as everyone else who doesn't get punched in the head for a living. And from baseball, we have Maxine Agee, the wife of New York Met Tommy Agee. She is just so articulate and so wonderful, and she comes out for us and interesting. And then we have a neuropsychologist from Stony Brook University, Dr. Brian Leibowitz, and a sports medicine person, Dr. Jennifer Gray. So it's a full complement of people. And of course, Ann, you're on the panel. There's 12 people on the panel. So it's going to be a very exciting event.
It's going to be fascinating. And then all these athletes, as you mentioned, have their own, you know, firsthand stories they can talk about. I mean, they've all endured concussions throughout their career, some more than others. Harry Carson was on this very show, what, maybe 7-6 years ago, saying, admitting for the first time ever, that had he known back then while he was playing what he knows now, because he suffers from post-concussion syndrome, he would never have played football. This is a Hall of Famer saying, I would never have played football.
Right. Because he has 5 Super Bowl rings, and he's saying that.
Harry Carson will not allow his grandkids to play football. He doesn't want his grandsons to play. So he's been very open and honest about, you know, what's happening with post-concussion syndrome. So we're going to talk to John Nitti in a few minutes. Kyle's going to get John Nitti on the line here, former running back with the Jets, the Giants, Yale University. He has a lot to say on this issue. And Liz, while we connect with John, tell me about your initial thoughts when you heard the big news this week that the senior official of the National Football League finally admitted, finally, after all these years, that brain injuries are actually linked to football.
Right. As I said, 14 years it took them from Dr. Amalu's initial research that made it clearer that brain injury was linked to football. And to hear them say it, I said to myself, what a wonderful relief for players. Because it's the beginning of making a wrong situation right. And I'm not saying that football's wrong, but you have to be honest and clear, know the risk. There's a line in the film that says, when you play in the NFL, you know you're going to break bones. You know you're going to get beat up and bruised, but you don't think you're going to have to die for football.
Right, right. It's just an issue that will not go away. It's gained so much momentum in the last 10 years. Much more education's out there. Obviously, all this research is facing the NFL. And we'll talk a little bit about what they are doing, what they have been doing in the next couple minutes or so. We're going to take a quick break here and continue talking to Liz Giordano, the CEO of the Head Injury Association, and John Nitti, former NFL player and Yale running back, will join us as well with his insight. Sports Interview with Anne LaGloria is brought to you in part by Tourism Ireland. Go where Ireland takes you. DiscoverIreland.com.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Grice, hoping you'll take the time to catch The Riff, my new weekly blog, exploring a wide range of topics, music, books, history, a little personal history, and more. Catch The Riff every Friday on our website, 883wppb.org, Facebook, and Twitter, too.
The following is a public service announcement from WPPB. The Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York is looking for volunteers for its Puppy Raiser program. Puppy Raisers provide loving homes and care for foundation puppies until they are old enough to begin formal guide dog training. Help raise an adorable pup to become a guide dog for a person who is blind or visually impaired. You'll gain the pride and satisfaction of helping change a life thanks to this rewarding experience. Please call the Guide Dog Foundation at 631-930-9000 or visit puppy.guidedog.org.
This is Wally Smith, General Manager of WPPB. Every spring, WPPB brings you the entire season of the Metropolitan Opera broadcast on Saturdays from 1 to 5 p.m. Our station is proud to make opera more widely accessible through our broadcast. Whether you are an opera aficionado or just a casual listener to opera, we're the place to listen each Saturday afternoon in the spring. This is just one of the many important reasons to support WPPB during this spring pledge drive. Go to 883wppb.org and donate now.
You say you want a revolution. Well,
all right, that will get you going on a Saturday morning. Ann LaGore with you. Thanks so much for tuning in to Sports Interview with Ann LaGore, where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us from anywhere on the planet by going to PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. Our pledge drive is continuing here. Please support us, Long Island's only NPR station. You can call us right now at 1-800-620-8830, 1-800-620-8830. Bonnie Grice is in the studio to answer your call. She's not here. She left. All right. Well, you call us. Somebody might answer the phone. We promise. But anyway, we continue talking to Liz Giordano, the CEO of the Head Injury Association, based right here on Long Island. March is Head Injury Month. The forum that Liz is organizing, the Head Injury Awareness Celebrity Sports Forum, coming up March 30th, Protecting School-Aged Athletes from Concussions, featuring Dr. Bennett Omalu, the Nigerian-born doctor, now a U.S. citizen, who discovered CTE. And so much to talk about. John Nitti, who's always involved with the Head Injury Association, this forum, joins us this morning. John, of football fame, both Yale University, Jets, Giants. Good morning, John. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Ann, how are you? That's very generous football fame, but certainly appreciate being on the show with you and Liz.
Well, you have a lot to say about head injuries in sports. You've been playing football. You played football from an early age. Your sons play. It's an issue that obviously has to be pretty important in your life with you and your family.
It is, and we get the questions all the time about our sons and how do you feel about them playing, and if you knew what you knew now, would you have played in, yourself? Since you're right, I did start at 10 years old, so the discussion always comes up, and I think a lot of the awareness that's happened because of people like yourself and Liz, and now the movie coming out. Concussion, it just raises this awareness to a whole new level. So get the conversation all the time.
John, did you if you had to put a count to how many concussions you might have suffered through the years, how many do you think you had?
I know I had at least five, but it was probably more than that. There were a lot of times when they used to refer to it as you got your bell rung, and you just basically not even go to the sideline. If you did go to the sideline, you went right back in. And I could tell you stories that would take too long for the show. But, I would say my first concussion was at registration of midget football. We were playing kill the man with the ball in the parking lot waiting to go register. Oof. And I got hit, and my head hit a rock, and I was knocked out for about 5 minutes.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. How old were you?
I was 10 years old, so maybe that was telling me something then. I should have picked up golf or something.
Unbelievable. So do you know now, because your sons play football and you go to a lot of their games, have you, and obviously you're still involved with the NFL, do you see a difference with how they've, you know, coaches and trainers are responding to football players who suffer concussions based on, you know, any difference now as opposed to when you were playing?
100%.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
My son's the quarterback for Bucknell, so we go to all the games, and Bucknell was playing VMI, and one of their running backs got hit, was knocked out, came back several games later, got another concussion, and Bucknell has actually asked him not to play anymore. So they've declared him ineligible.
Wow.
And
based on
and
one concussion, huh?
It was based on two.
Two.
He was a transfer from Navy with a documented concussion at Navy, and so they figured three was enough. And one of their star players, and they, so this wasn't like, you know, an easy decision, I guess. But
wow.
I
wonder how the player felt about that.
Well, I think it's on their minds. I mean, they all think about the possibilities now. I don't think we did at all. I can remember when Jack Tatum hit Darryl Stingley and paralyzed him, there was a mood change in NFL locker rooms at that time about what can happen out on the field. But no one was really thinking about the residual effects. And, you know, I had 5, 6, you know, if you talk to Harry Carson, 19 concussions. Mm. And what does it mean down the road? And I think people are starting to see the effects. Some of the people that I played with are seeing symptoms, which is concerning. But I don't think anyone was aware at all at what happens when you have repetitive concussions and impact to the brain and what the residual effects are.
And so now in the NFL, how have they kind of responded to this influx of studies on concussions? We know that the big news this week, that after years of the NFL denying that there, you know, was any link between football and brain injuries, that at a hearing, Jeff Miller, the NFL's senior VP for health and public safety, said, yes, indeed, you know, there is a connection between football and CTE. But even before this admission, there was pressure on football to change the way they handle players who have concussions, correct?
Correct. And I think they've done a good job. Now, I haven't seen the full excerpt from that talk. So I don't know if he said correlation or causation. And as we both know from our stats days in college, that a big thing in statistics is correlation does not mean causation.
Yeah, no, he just said that he was asked if there was a connection between football and CTE. And he said, in quotes, the answer to that is certainly yes. Just
right.
A connection. That was the word. That was the word that the congresswoman had asked him.
Right. So then the question is, and I've seen some of the CTE studies where, unfortunately, you can only test that, you know, postmortem. So it's not something that you can do a general study on for all the players that are currently living. But I guess the question is still going to be versus the general population versus what everyone else is doing. There's a connection with any kind of, I would say, head injury. You look at boxing and Muhammad Ali and what he's going through. You look at ice skaters, cheerleaders,
lacrosse
you go on
players,
and on.
Soccer. Yeah.
Soccer with the heading of the ball, exactly. And so there's a connection, but is the connection, how far does the connection go? And I don't know where they're heading with that, but I can tell you that the differences are amazing. I can tell you that when I was knocked out against the Steelers and came to the sideline, I was asked 3 questions and sent back in the game. And today there are pre-neurological testing, post-neurological. As soon as there's any sign that you've been injured, that you have a head injury, you have to go to the locker room, be tested. It's a whole new world. And as Liz will tell you, and as I know you know, Ann, is that the biggest thing is rest. You know, when you get an injury like that, you need to rest it. And going back in the game is absolutely the worst thing that can be done. You need, you know, 10, 14, maybe even more days of rest. And what you really want to avoid is that second impact syndrome. And so I think that the NFL has done a lot with the rule change and with all of the testing and the, and a careful eye on all the players, that while, you know, the players of my era maybe don't have that kind of, didn't have that kind of care, perhaps it'll make a difference with the next generation. And that's what I think the intent is.
I know that the NFL also gave $45 million to USA Football to promote safe tackling and, you know, to teach young people, you know, how to tackle so you don't go after the head, right? I mean, there's just, there's ways to tackle to cause perhaps less damage.
Exactly. And that's the whole, that's a lot of the rule changes, so that, you know, you can no longer tackle with the helmet. You cannot lead with the head. And the rule change is partly to protect the receiver, but it's also to, or the running back or whoever is carrying the ball, but it's also mainly to protect the tackler. And so a good tackle is with the shoulders and driving from low to high and not using your head. And I mean, I can, when I was playing, I used my head all the time because I didn't know any better. I can remember a play in high school when I hit a quarterback so hard with my head that all the paint sprayed off my helmet like a rainbow up in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I knocked him out, and I had a concussion. So that was one of the five or six that I could tell you. So, you know, and I thought it was a great hit. You know, I didn't realize that it was not a good hit for either one of us. And so there's a lot more awareness and a lot more study and a lot more instruction. And it's all based on what people like yourself and Liz are doing.
We're talking to John Nitti, former NFL running back, Yale University, a running back. Liz Giordano's in the studio, CEO of the Head Injury Association. And with all this, you know, with the movie concussion and now all this attention, even, you know, more focused on football in the NFL, do you think football is being unfairly targeted, especially because you have all these other sports, you know, some don't wear helmets. Look at soccer, look at, you know, girls lacrosse. I mean, do you think that we're putting too much attention on football here, John?
I think it's a good point. And, you know, the fact is that there are a lot of contact sports. Football is really the only true collision sport,
right,
where you've got, you know, two opposite forces going, you know, full speed directly at each other. And it just does not happen in other sports. If you look at hockey, lacrosse, anything, most of the time when there's contact, both players are going in the same direction, and that minimizes it. So I think football is the most violent sport. But I do think that the awareness that people like yourselves have created in football needs to be proliferated throughout all contact sports and even other areas of life. So, you know, I don't think it's unfairly targeted, but I think that attention could be more widespread.
Yeah, and you know, John's exactly right. We could spread to other sports easily. The Washington Post recently had an article on a young lady who's now 47 years old. Her name is Brandi Chastain, and she played for the national team,
right,
an Olympic gold medalist. Sure. And she has now donated her brain to CTE research.
Right,
she's alive. She's well. Mm-hmm. She's not sure what she has or doesn't have. But people are doing things, as John just said, to draw attention. Certainly, we look to the NFL to do more. But by degree, they're a very different organization than 20 years ago, because at least these kinds of topics are in the news. They're being discussed. They're in schools, topics for coaches and high school and middle school players and parents. So it works. The awareness, does produce a slow, gradual change. And we're grateful to people like Dr. Omalu. We're grateful for the people who made Concussion, because it gets a lot of information out to the masses in a very quick way.
Yeah, Brandi Chastain, I mean, she's a celebrated female soccer star who recently retired, and I wonder how many concussions Brandi had, John, you know, throughout her career, because soccer is very, very physical. My nephew played soccer, you know, just in a you know, public school level and intramural level, and he had two or three concussions on that level, you know. So it's just, there are other sports where we really have to I think advocate wearing helmets and protecting these athletes even more.
No, that's exactly right. And then beyond sports, and look at the military and the amount of people that are coming back with head injuries and again the residual effects from that. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to look at that. And to a point that I don't think we can avoid is that no one is saying that. So if people are getting their head injured in the military, obviously this is an extreme example, but it's just to a point. You're not going to say, okay, well, we're not going to put people in the military anymore. And I think it's the same around sports. I don't think anyone wants to say that these should be dissolved, or that we don't want athletics. Or so it's a matter of how do you manage it and how do you minimize the impact with rule change, with making head leading with the head illegal, and with taking care of the people that get hurt. As you said, Anne, earlier in the program, football is very important to my family. And as I said, I get asked all the time, why do I let my kids play? Well, my two sons, and I have two daughters that played other sports like soccer. But the fact is that, first of all, they're at age where they make their own decisions. But, football's, in our culture, in our family culture, and I can't ever imagine telling my sons I couldn't play. I look at all the things that I got out of football, and including my relationship with the two of you, that I probably wouldn't even know either one of you if I didn't play football.
I love it. I love it. Well, you're right. I mean, football is in your blood, right? So we're not, you can't say don't play. We just have to educate more and more people about how to handle concussions.
Manage.
People are aware now of the pros and cons of playing the sport. So, and they're educated now. That's the most important thing, to educate mostly young people and coaches about the dangers and the potential for head injuries, and what you do immediately with that athlete upon that athlete suffering a concussion.
I think we just heard John say management. How do you manage the treatment? How do you manage living with concussions or TBI? And I see people every day who have, fulfilling, wonderful lives. It wouldn't have been their choice, but they had sustained a traumatic brain injury. But the problem becomes when you're ignorant of it. And, when we hear Harry Carson talk about years ago, he says, I just didn't feel right. I didn't know what was going on. I just wasn't myself. And that has to be the most frightening thing in the world, because it's not right. Something is wrong, and nobody can diagnose it properly. So that's the problem. I mean, some of the signs of and they're the same with CTE as they are with traumatic brain injury: cognitive deficiencies, loss of short-term memory, depression, signs of dementia. 40% of the symptoms of depression are higher among people who've been suffered concussions. So I think the knowledge is the answer. Public awareness is the answer. And that's why we're just so grateful that Dr. Omalu could be with us, because he has certainly taken medical science and research to a higher level, a significantly higher level. And we don't want the NFL to go away. Kids, I used to work with juvenile delinquents. Bonding young people to sports is one of the most powerful things you can do to eliminate delinquency, to create an organizational culture of healthy activity, healthy competitiveness, get our kids off the street into organized sports. So we don't want the NFL or any league in a sport to go away. We just want them to be more informed, more knowledgeable, and manage better. And John just said, care for their players more.
I thought the movie Concussion did a great job at showing kind of like this dichotomy, you know, this struggle of accepting the game, yet all the issues associated with the violent hitting in the game. And, you know, because Dr. Omalu came from Nigeria. He didn't know what football was, right? And he never watched TV. And, you know, he went to a couple of the Steelers practices and the games, and even went to high school and college games, and to really study the sport and to see exactly how much physical contact there is. Yet he admitted that there is such a beauty to the game. There's such a poetry and motion to the game. So that was an interesting part of the film, John, I thought. I don't know. You've seen the film. What were your thoughts about the film? I thought it was very uplifting to show this doctor and everything he overcame, you know, with his, and then he made this incredible discovery, was rebuffed for so many years, but he stuck to his research and to his discovery and basically stood up to the most powerful organization, one of the most powerful organizations in the world.
Well, I actually have not seen
the movie. Oh, you have to.
You have to go.
I promise I'm going to see it before the event on March 30th.
It's a very moving. It's a very moving film. And I think whether, you know, you don't have to be obviously a sports fan or a football fan at all. It's really more about this doctor and his discovery and the challenges that he went through making this this amazing discovery. So you definitely have to go see it.
I will. I want to be able to talk intelligently with him on the 30th. So.
Let me ask you this, John, because you still have a lot of friends. Obviously, you're not going to mention any names, but anybody, are you surprised by perhaps a number of athletes that you know who may be showing these signs of brain disease now? And of course, you know, as Liz said, maybe Dr. Omalu is able to discover. I mean, he said in the film that he believes 90% of athletes currently have CTE, just based on his research and common sense. But do you have friends walking around who you think may be suffering from this?
Yes, and I was talking to one of them said right now, and he, as you said, I can't mention his name because he's still working and he doesn't want anyone to know, and he's trying to manage through it, but he gets depressed. He, as Liz was saying, he doesn't like to be in big crowds anymore. He doesn't like a lot of noise. He basically likes to stay home when he's not working, and so this was a very social person in the past, a very active person. So starting to see it, I think it's not alarming numbers right now. You know, I've had a number of conversations with Harry Carson about this, who I've known for 35 years or so. So Harry's a very intelligent, introspective person, and so those are pretty intense conversations. But I guess the most alarming is when you get on some of the NFLPA conference calls, and all of a sudden you hear a woman's voice, and you're thinking, okay, why is? And they start asking her questions, and she's on the phone because her husband, who was a player, is incapable of having a conversation.
Mm.
And that's and it's not just one woman. There's numerous women that are on and looking at the lawsuit, and some of their husbands have passed away. Some of them just can no longer function. And, you know, when you hear that number of people on the phone, it does strike a chord inside.
Absolutely. That's
scary.
Scary. Those are scary conversations. Well, John, thanks so much for joining us. Liz, tell us what's happening down the road after this forum. What's the Head Injury Association? I know you guys are expanding, right?
You're not just on
Long Island anymore.
No, we got approval from New York State to move our services into the five boroughs of the New York City area. And we're probably looking at the Long Island City area because we felt geographically, our clients can come from Queens, from Brooklyn, from Manhattan, and possibly even from the Bronx. So we're looking at opening up a new day program. It would be operational from 9 to 3, Monday to Friday, and it would be for TBI survivors, traumatic brain injury survivors. So we're looking for a site. We're very, very excited. The need is clearly there. There is no agency in the city that provides care for just traumatic brain injury survivors. And TBI people have a unique way of managing and living and learning. And we feel that over our 25 years of experience as the Head Injury Association, we're now able to do more for more people. So we're very excited about that. As many people know, we didn't charge for this event that's coming up on July 30th, but we could use support. March 30th.
That's okay.
And I was going to our golf outing this year.
Right.
This year, our golf outing is a fundraiser. It allows us to do things like the forum. And we're going to be at Glen Head Country Club. It's a new site this year. John, I hope you're able to come out and play for us. And it's going to be on July 18th at Glen Head. So if you visit our website, you can buy tickets for the event.
And the website, Liz?
Is www.headinjuryassoc.org. Or you could call us at 631-543-2245.
And the facility in Hopog, I was at the tour when had it redone, or it was brand new, right?
It was brand new.
Beautiful facility.
A building we now own, which allows us the opportunity to build it out for programmatic needs. So we're very excited. We're very much at home there. And we're almost filled to capacity. So hence, we'll be moving west a little bit.
Wow. That will be an addition, correct?
In addition. We'll maintain all of our services on Long Island and begin to provide services to TBI people in the five boroughs.
Well, Liz, it's been a pleasure always to catch up with you on this very important issue. John Nitti, thank you so much. Kyle Lynch and his little corgi, thank you very much for all you do with this show and for the radio station. Please call 1-800-620-8830 and pledge as the pledge drive continues. It's been a pleasure, Liz Giordano. I can't wait till the March 30th Head Injury Awareness Celebrity Sports Forum, protecting school-age athletes from concussions and hearing the great Dr. Bennett Omalu. Congratulations for getting him. I can't wait to be a part of that forum. Thanks so much, Liz Giordano.
Thank you, Ann.
Have a great morning, everybody. Talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10 right here on Sports Interview with Ann LaGorie.